This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Next Normal on Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. In this new series, we explore the next normal in all things related to the world of business. And on this episode, we're going to be focusing on using technology to build resilience in your business. Now, COVID-19 has changed the way we look at digitalization. What was once viewed as an opportunity is now imperative. As businesses search for ways to deliver value while reducing costs, adopting the right technology has become key to survival. And with commitments from governments across the region looking to provide funding for such initiatives, what are some of the priorities that need to be tackled? Well, to answer this and give us more insights into the role of technology in helping companies become more resilient moving forward, we have with us on the show today Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific and Japan at Blackline, Terry Sma. Terry is a senior business leader with over 20 years of experience in fields such as financial software, business intelligence, and data analytics. And he's held senior leadership roles across APAC with some of the world's leading enterprise technology companies. So he's really going to open our minds to the way tech can be used to up our game during this time. Right, Terry?
Absolutely. Thanks, Audrey, for having me on the call today.
So, Terry, before we get started, maybe you can tell us a bit about Blackline and the kind of businesses that you guys work with.
Sure. So companies come to Blackline because their traditional manual accounting processes are just not sustainable. Hmm. We help them move to modern accounting by unifying their data and processes, automating repetitive work, and driving accountability through visibility. So more than 3,000 companies worldwide, including the likes of Coca-Cola, Nike, and Domino's, trust Blackline to close faster with complete and accurate results. Having the visibility into your business, especially in your financial insights, is extremely key. Founded since 2001, Nasdaq listed, we are the market leader in this space, 3 years in a row with Gartner. But most significantly, I think, when you look at functions in any businesses, mission-critical functions are extremely crucial, and finance is right at the top of it, right?
Right.
Always once forgotten to be the back office part of it, but really, when it comes to finance, you've got to really, that's the backbone of actually making sure the lights are on and your salaries get paid. Mm. That's it that way.
All right. So, COVID-19, it's really done a number on us. Regardless of the industry vertical, there's definitely been impact. So before we get the ball rolling, maybe you can set the scene for us. What's the damage to businesses across the region? And could we have been better prepared for a disruption like this?
Let me take the second question. Could we be better prepared? I don't think we could have, because of the extent that this has really happened. Mm. The global pandemic has rocked not just a nation or a country or a continent, but really across the globe altogether, right? And while it happened in phases, as you remember, it really started in Asia, back in October, November last year. And, we never took it seriously. I think the resilience in the Asia market a bit more, considering the fact that some of us had experiences in the deadly SARS in 2002. Mm. We kind of knew, right, it's just one of those things, right? It's just swine flu, it's H1N1. But it's really swept across the world, and we kind of seen, we just didn't know what to do. So we were being very reactive all across, in terms of, all right, let's do this, and then let's try that. And it was a lot of trial and errors. And so today, I think we're trying to get the best measures in terms of, whether... So we were prepared for it. I don't know whether we could have done better. It's always Vision 2020 in hindsight, right? There's so many things to learn from there.
So what are some of the new challenges that businesses are now facing as economies across Southeast Asia reopen?
I think as economies are trying to better word, in my opinion, it is really technologies that try, that organizations are having to play this crucial role of keeping the society functional, right? Yeah, especially in a time of lockdowns and quarantines. We kind of chatted earlier. You see countries opening up and then they're going out full steam, and then now you see them, really scaling back on the decisions that they made because of the second wave that's coming in front. I think organizations need to really think about, the long-lasting impact beyond COVID-19. So COVID-19 has been a catalyst to really, has been it's been the reason, and it's also the catalyst to actually make a lot of significant change. And that change is really going to help, hopefully, the society be more resilient in the face of this pandemic and also any other upcoming threats that we may actually hopefully foresee in the future.
Right. So how can businesses adopt new technologies in a way that prepares employees and minimizes disruption to jobs and employment?
Great question. I think when you come and think about this, a couple of things come in your mind, right? I think the three tenets here is talk about a digital transformation, you talk about digitalization, and then you talk about digital transformation. And again, a lot of digital stuff on there. But end of the day is that where are you in that phase? Are you digitizing? Do you want to go digital, or are you going to be going in terms of the digitalization approach? And these are three different phases, and many organizations are in that phase, right? I think we need to build a resilient society, and we need to consider in regards to the effects of how we do business, how we trade, how we work, you know, how do we learn in whole enablement learning, you know, social platforms, and then of course in the bread and butter of medical services, how do we seek it there? And then, you know, to wait out boredom, how do we entertain ourselves? So technology has always played a very good enabler, right? Technology is an enabler for us to do things differently. More so now, it has been, you know, we have seen technology just come to the forefront of things, be it from online shopping, be it from, contactless payments, to remote working, and I'll come and touch on this item at this point in detail. And then, of course, we've got the whole element of distance learning. Distance learning, as you and I know, is at least in our part of the world, it's not new. We've been having distance learning from a long, long time ago,
right?
You know, whether it's the UK, the Australia, the US, but how is that coming to play now? And then, of course, you've got, you know, more and more medical practitioners with what we get is telehealth, right? Call a doctor, go on video call, you know, tell a doctor your symptoms, and then let's see how that goes. And then you've got online entertainment. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen so much of Netflix and Amazon Prime in my life, right? Lots of documentaries and what's going on.
Yeah.
And so if you kind of think about this whole element of, I'm sure you've heard the term of RPA, robotics process automation. We've heard about drones, but this is the reality now. There are organizations, there are industries, there are countries that are using drones. There are robotics that are more and more now becoming the norm. You see many robots going around in malls and other organizations, right, but giving out disinfectants and doing things. Now, that's a reality. There's no more novelty. It used to be a novelty. We see a robot roaming around KLIA or Singapore Changi Airport, right? Oh, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
You know, Singapore launched, they call it the iRobot Dog, if I'm not mistaken. And in parks, right, you got this robotic dog literally walking around telling people to have safe distancing. Now, this is the norm, right? This is what it is. And of course, then, as we accelerate and technology going out, the whole element of 5G and ICT, right, we need to rely on a stable, high-speed and affordable, being the key word, internet, because everybody is now jumping on the internet, right, which is really, really important. So the whole importance of demonstrating, you know, consultation, the most important is awareness to be. But I think end of the day is the adoption of technology. The good news now, Audrey, and just before I pause, the good news now is that there is very little resistance to adopt technology.
Right.
Very little resistance, right?
Okay, so what about tech aside, what about skills? You know, what skills will employees need to work in this new environment?
Yeah, another great question. I think next is the people. The people element, I will start with, and I think we kind of segue into that, right? There is no longer a resistance to change, but there must be a mindset shift, right? It is well known that the next generation or the current one, depending on where you look like, the workers are very different from you and I, right? Or maybe from me, and I'm sure you are in the younger generation. But the tech is available. I mean, it used to be a case whereby you don't go train a millennial right now to use social media or any other thing. In fact, the reverse is true, right?
Yeah.
However, that said, there is an expectation to be trained. There is an expectation that I want to do value-added work. Not the boring old school stuff, you know, in terms of, especially in finance, right? People are tired of working 12, 14-hour shifts and going into the whole element of saying, I want to close the books and I'm going to do like an auditor, right? You know, they're like, how am I going to automate this process, right? You know, so they've been more vocal in terms of education, more so in terms of a shift towards externalizing. This is what we need. So it's not about regurgitation anymore. Read something, you know, memorize the textbook and the numbers and content and go out and do that, right? Mm. So I believe that education enablement, which has been a constant thing in many organizations, is now in the forefront of things. In this time and day, as we hear about retrenchments and layoffs and everything else, sad but true, there's also a perspective that the onus is on employers are to ensure that their employees are enabled with the right training and education levels itself, right? And that's really the onus on the employers.
All right, it is already time for a break. But when we come back, Terry will talk to us about some of the departments or areas that should be moving quicker to digitalize. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
We're back. This is The Next Normal on Resource Centre. I'm Audrey Raj. And on the line with me right now from across the causeway is Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia Pacific and Japan at Blackline, Terry Sma. And we are discussing using technology to build resilience in your business. So Terry, just before the break, we were talking about how most businesses right now are moving either to digitalize or doing their own digital transformation. But maybe you can share with us some of the departments or areas that should really be moving quicker to digitalize.
Yeah, great question there. I think when you look at organizations and we look at functions across, right, I mean, there's no more important than the other. I think everyone's in equal speed. Mm. And that's why when you come to partnering in functions, whether it's sales, marketing, HR, or finance or IT, it really needs to be on par. And what this pandemic has done right now, it has really kind of now looked at that bit while independently, but also having the whole element of collaboration and having a cohesive perspective. One of the key things, key functions that I've seen where has been very remote and very traditional has been finance, right? Finance has been a very traditional, function. And also end of the day, right? If you look at the three traditional professions have been, obviously you got a doctor, you got the law profession, you got a medicine, the law profession, of course you got the accounting profession, right? Mm. Now, and a lot has changed in the first two, right? A lot of change in the medical field, a lot has changed even in the law field, right? Things have digitized, you know, things have gone online, but in the accounting field, it's definitely a laggard compared to its two peers.
Why?
Right? Definitely a laggard.
Why is there?
Clearly, the whole element of trust, complexity, the whole element of, you know, I've got to put people on that. Then the only way to ensure to negate any element of errors is to have more people on it. So I'm sure you have seen, right, you know, the auditors coming in, whether it's quarter end or month end or year end, you know, a team of auditors coming from the big guys, from the big fours or the big threes, and walking into offices with their bags and files, and that's it. They lock themselves in a room, they get files and files, and literally they are looking at those, right? And they spend 12, 14 hours for a couple of days. Now, is that sustainable? Not really, right? Mm. So, and that's where the customers are, and organizations are also saying, hang on a minute, I'm moving at lightning speed across my organization because I want to be more competitively advanced to, you know, in terms of making sure I have cutting-edge technology, I'm ahead of my competitors. Can we get the numbers, right? Because end of the day, all we are doing is reporting numbers that we're done. Can we have a bit more foresight? Right? Mm. Can we have the trends of tomorrow, right? Want to see what my peers in the industry are doing in the next 5 years, right? So you got a lot of stuff with AI, artificial intelligence that's coming into play. So with finance, the good news is that, and just like we're at Blackline, right, being a market leader for so many years with 3,000 customers worldwide, we have now been able to go out there and serve this community of finance professionals, right? Mm. We've been able to automate the entire month-end closing process, shrink them down, and more importantly, provide you know, all these workflows, automate them, right? With certainty, with compliance, with governance, so that, you know, it's not just the fault of that poor auditor who missed that zero. And we know the margin of error in any accounting processes has got to be zero. It's got to be 1% also, right? Mm. So I think the automation has come about and companies are still lagging behind. And I'm hoping that with this whole work from home or remote working, with embracing technology, even in mission-critical functions like finance, there is a solution. There is an element to go out there and embrace that. And self-learning, big data analytics, which used to be just a term, it is now already here. It is the future is now. So this helps in that transformation journey.
So Terry, here in Malaysia, when the MCO first kicked off, we heard about certain functions in organizations that struggled more than others. I'm talking about HR, finance and accounting. That transition to work from home was a bit of a struggle here, and there had to be allowances to allow people from HR or finance or accounting to come back into the office to gather what they needed at the end of the month. So obviously, these are the functions that are ripe for digitalization. How much more efficient could these functions be if they are completely digitalized?
So, multiple parts to that question, but great question altogether. I think, firstly, let's talk about the fact of working remotely. It is no longer the new norm. It is the norm, right? Like yourself, like myself right now, right? We're taking this in our locations respectively. Now, it will change. Everyone that I've been speaking with, to my peers, my senior executives around the world, they see that companies can actually still thrive when employees are remotely working. And that's extremely important. That's extremely important, right?
Mm.
So, but what does this really mean? Are companies adopting this change? And are they ready to perform? Now, you can adopt a technology, you can adopt a trend, but are you adapting to it? So your example it's a classic one, right? Oh, sorry, I can't work from home. Sorry, I don't know where it is. My information is there. Now, there are a couple of elements in there, right? Firstly, the infrastructure protocols, right? Let's be truth be told, even in Asia, in many parts of the world also, not everybody has high-speed internet at home. Not everybody has, cable. And that's number one. What's the working environment like? If I'm in finance or HR and I'm dealing with sensitive data, is this data in the cloud? Is it residing in the cloud? Or is it residing in a physical server in my office somewhere?
Mm.
Right? So I think we can't wait for information anymore. Right? Everything needs to be online. Everything needs to be in the cloud. And they want it fast. Like, again, we talk about the millennials and the workforce of today and even tomorrow. They want it not only fast, they want it now. And they want it to be accurate. So a question here, right? How often do you think the internet can be down, or how long would you want to wait for your Chrome or your Google browser to load a page?
That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
A fun fact is that in a recent survey did no more than 2 seconds. Can you beat that?
Wow.
People are so impatient. No more than 2 seconds for a page to be browsed out. So by all these, it means that, end of the day, if you're going to move data to the cloud, if you want to be cloud ready, it just means that you need to have tighter controls. You need to have tighter governance. But more importantly, right, you need to ensure that the solution that you embark on, so we talk about finance just now, right, meets all the criteria, right, whether it's Oxley, whether it's ISO, it has all the standards baked in. It gives you a perspective to the company, but more importantly to your stakeholders, your customers, both internal and external, that your data is secure. In fact, the one good thing that I also want to say about cloud is that cloud is the answer to everything else, right? Including big data, blockchain. And from a finance standpoint, it allows you to remote close ready. I mean, we talk about remote closing, right?
Mm.
I'm sure you and I have friends in finance, and whenever it's come month end, they say, oh no, Audrey, I can't meet you today. I'm going to work late. I'm going to close the books.
Yep.
It's finance here. And we hear that all the time. Blackline is the market leader, right? What we want to do is ensure the technology enables, automates that process, right? So even though it doesn't matter you need to be in the office or not, or you're working remotely, it helps you do that. And that comes about by the mindset shift, right? The mindset shift of people. So to your question, coming back and circling back to your question again, I got to go back to the office. The first question should be, why?
Yeah.
Right? So they have not adapted that. And that's why I kind of started by saying the mindset shift. In any business today, I think agility is the key point. In order for a business to be agile, they really need their employees to have that mindset shift. And the only way employers can help their employees, firstly, is making sure they have good morale. And by that, I mean training them, enabling them, giving them the right tools and resources. Even be it, if they don't have a laptop working from home, or they don't have secure internet, right? Or they don't have a good ergonomical chair. I mean, these are basics, but, this increases productivity so much.
Yeah. All right, Terry, it looks like we've run out of time, but one final one before I let you off the hook. What are some of the other key areas that are ripe for disruption, and how can technology help build resilience there?
Let me give you a frame, right? We've been talking about big data for a long, long time. We've been talking about cloud for a long, long time. Mm. And then there's this whole thing of machine learning, ML, we talk about robotics process automation, RPA, and then you've got this whole element of artificial intelligence right now. And then you've got everybody calling themselves a data scientist, right?
Yeah.
Now, nobody can sell you data. Big data belongs to the company, belongs to it's really tested. But what's really tested is the knowledge of you and I, the knowledge workers. And that's really important for us to do that. So my take to you, it's not about just a single function. The disruption is now here to stay, but we need to disrupt ourselves as humans to make sure that we can not only adopt, but also adapt to this change. Because in the face of resilience, three things need to really stand clear. We need to make sure we have a sustainable business. We need to make sure it's executable, whether it be at home, remote, or wherever we are. And lastly, it needs to be repeatable day in, day out, right? So be it that it be in this new normal today. Sustainable, executable, and repeatable. If we do these three mantras and we do it well and we embrace technology and don't think technology is a threat to us, I think, you know, we will be turning the corner fairly soon.
All right. Terry, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Senior Vice President, General Manager, Asia Pacific and Japan at Blackline, Terry Sma. Now, if you missed out on any part of this conversation, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, and of course, the BFM app in just a few minutes. And while you're there, go check out our previous episodes on a whole bunch of things that are changing the world of business today. Just search for The Next Normal or Resource Center. The Next Normal will be back again same time next week on Resource Center to discuss how you can stay ahead of the curve in this new business environment we find ourselves in. Till then, this is Audrey Raj for Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.